What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to the show with me, Connor Warman. I've got a great show for you guys today. I'm really excited to dive into it. Super cool story, great conversation. But first, I just wanted to remind you guys that you can go find us on Instagram, Up Before You Won, Facebook, Up Before You Won, and now Twitter, Up Before You Won. So go check us out on that. Give us a like. You can stay up to date with all our latest content, what we're doing, the guests we're having on the show, other things we're doing. We got some really cool stuff coming up, so I'm excited for you guys to go check that out. Also, please go like us on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and a review if you have been a long-time listener of the show. I really appreciate the feedback, good or bad. Thank you for that. And you can also find us on Spotify or basically wherever else that you get your podcasts. Okay, continuing the Up Before You Legends series, my guest today is Dave Crossan. Dave was last on the show November 18th, 2018. On this episode, we talk everything from competing in CrossFit to being a chiropractor, loving what you do, always striving to get better, parenting, what you would be doing if, and so much more. As always, I truly hope that you enjoy this conversation as much as I did and that you are able to take something positive from it. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Dave, what's going on, man? How are you?
Good, man. What's going on? Welcome back. Yeah, back for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Well, you welcome back. You're back on the show.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been, I'm going to say what, about eight? No, probably a year at least.
Since you were on here?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
I think it's been two plus.
Two
I
plus? Man. Time goes by.
Yeah, when I got Johnny on the other day, like getting these people back, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, it's pretty interesting. I mean, what episode are you on right now?
This will be like almost 50, I think.
150.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's cool, especially when you look back.
Yeah.
And if you go back and listen, I mean, some of them are hard to listen to because you're like, man, why did I say that?
Well, you know? I mean, that's part of the learning process.
It's part of it, yeah.
That's how you get better. But, you know, I think I like going back and listening to some of the old ones because you forget, of course, with our group, you forget some things that people say. I'm like, what did he say there? I got to go back and listen so I can bust his chops about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You just kind of, you start to forget a little bit of where you came from. And
yeah.
You're like, oh man, like this is cool. Like I've come a long way.
Sure.
Like,
yeah. Stuff's happened. You've interviewed a ton of people, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And it's cool now, like it's only been like a few years, but to bring people back is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, man, what you been up to? I asked Johnny that, and he's like, what do you want me to go through the whole 3 years?
I mean, a lot. I don't know. We're just working, training, you know. We're moving down the street, so we've been demoing. Your dad's going to help us with the remodel a little bit. The kids have been loving the new yard, playing outside, which is one of the reasons why we decided to move, is to have a little bit more space. But, you know, just work, going through COVID, trying to navigate that in a healthcare office. And we've been in a mask for the last 10 months, or 9 months or whatever it is now, which has been, was difficult to work in the beginning, but now I'm used to it. Mm-hmm. But just navigating that has been an interesting year from the business perspective of just, you know, rules are ever changing. They're coming out, you know, the stats change every day. You know, the CDC changes things, it seems like weekly. So just having to navigate that has been a challenge while continuing to try to obviously get people better when they come in. So
in terms of training, since we last talked 2 or 3 years ago, would you say you've gotten more serious and dialed in? Because to me, as an outsider, not an outsider, because I work out with you a lot.
Yeah.
But it seems like you have.
Yeah, I think I'm.
And if you have, I guess what caused you to like kind of get more locked in? Like,
well, I think I trained a lot, you know, a couple years ago, and I was training hard. I just, going to Wadapalooza last year, competing with obviously some really, really good CrossFit athletes and doing fairly well out there, I was pretty happy with. You just learn some things and it's like, okay, there was just glaring weaknesses in some of my training. So I think I'm more dialed into what do I need to get better at to improve that standing where I was. So that, yes, in that aspect, I think I'm training smarter. I think we've always trained pretty hard, but you know, I think I've gone through, obviously I like what Craig and Cronin program at the gym. I use that a lot. I was using CompTrain, which I really enjoyed for almost a year, and then I went to a different programming, which we're not going to go into, but I went to Mayhem, and I've really enjoyed Mayhem's programming. So I'm using a little bit of our gyms and a little bit of Mayhem's depending on what's going on, you know, weekly with my body, and I've listened to my body, I think, a little bit better. So from a dialed in perspective, yes, I think I'm more attuned to what I need to get better at to continue to improve, to continue to compete, you know. And obviously I'm not at the highest level yet, but I'm, you know, I think I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. Getting a lot closer.
Yeah.
I wonder, cause like you were a college athlete and like your age, I mean, you're not old, but
well, you're getting there.
Just a lot of people at your age kind of like start to, I guess, wind down. Like you kind of like start to relax, but you seem to be like ramping up.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about that? Or does that
I just think that's always been my personality. Yeah. It's when I see something, I'm like, oh, I'm like, if I can change this and this and this, this will make this improvement. So I always think on a day-to-day basis, there's something you can improve on. And that's what I think is fun about life, mm-hmm. is what can we get better at? What can we improve on? How do I make this better?
You only have so much time to do.
Right. And that's, and again, you and I have talked about this on other podcasts, is that is your most precious currency is time.
Yeah.
Because it's going to run out. So I always view it that way. But yeah, I think I am ramping up a little bit. Like I've had a good year. I had a rough summer, just a lot going on. COVID kind of, you know, took some wind out of my training sails through the summer with some things going on with that. So that slowed me down, but we're back on track now, doing a lot. And it helps that our gym, we've got people that want to train, and it's fun to train with people. So I think through COVID, the first few months, you know, I was training at my house with, you know, mostly Adam and Beth, which was helpful. And then all of a sudden I was training on my own in the summer, which, you know, I didn't want to take a spot at our gym, you know, because our morning classes, you cap the classes now in Illinois, there's a certain limit.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to take a member's class time. So then for some reason things got lost and I was training by myself, and that was hard. Like I like to train with people, and I can train by myself, but it's much more enjoyable when I have someone else that's training with me, that's working through things with me, and that's helped me, I think, the last few months.
Yeah, do you think CrossFit as a whole has done, like, changed people's? Because like I said, like at your age and a little older, people kind of start to like wind down, like relax a little bit, like take their foot off the gas. Do you think like CrossFit's done that, given people a reason to kind of like ramp up?
Sure.
Not even just in fitness, but in life, I guess, because it gives you something to like work towards.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, and again, it's unless you have been in a CrossFit gym and have been doing it a while, I mean, you may think I'm fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But I think it's helped everything, because it's like, okay, you know, it just shows you from it, it makes a different, it puts a different perspective or a different spin on things for me. It's like, man, I remember 3 years ago when I couldn't do 8 muscle ups in a row or 7 muscle ups in a row or whatever that is. And I'm like, wait a minute, if I can do that there when I go to my business or my work, I can do it here too. If I just put the little bit of, and again, it's my profession's different where I kind of understand, hey, you've got to put the work in, you've got to put the time in. It's small incremental changes, but it just reminds me because I see it happening with myself. So, you know, you put the small changes in and you just can keep getting a little bit better, a little bit better. Or I get more knowledgeable at my office because I just, maybe I read a little bit more. Maybe I look at it from a CrossFit perspective where I'm not good at this maybe technique, or maybe I don't know enough about, you know, radial head fractures or whatever it is. I'm going to research that and try to get better at understanding, you know, obviously I'm not fixing a radial head fracture, but I'm just giving an example. That's, you know, I'm learning about that. So if someone comes in, I can identify it on an x-ray and I can send it to the right person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, this time's been crazy. What kept you training knowing there was so much uncertainty?
I think it's because, one, I was afraid to go backwards. Like I never want to go backwards. Mm-hmm. And two,
just in general.
In general. Yeah. And two, it kept a sense of like routine for me. Like I'm saying like a lot. I hate when I do that. But when COVID started in March, I was very lucky. I was an essential business. Our office was in, so I was going to work. So my routine never changed. And I think that kept my sanity a lot, where I wasn't at home, stuck at home for 2 or 3 weeks or a month where I couldn't go to work. I couldn't go out of the house. I had to go to work. And I was able to continue training at home because I've got a pretty good setup in my basement. And that allowed me to continue to get better and at least work on some things that I needed work on. Also, that's a stress relief for me. That's my hour of the day where it's, or my hour and a half or whatever it is, where that's just my time. I'm working on what I want to work on, clears my head, then I'm going to work.
Yeah.
So
you brought up essential. I hate that word because I feel like
it makes
80%, 90% of the population feel terrible.
Yeah. It's a bad definition or a bad, yeah.
But I know you've talked about this probably millions of times, but why chiropractic? Of all the things you could have done with your life, why did you do that?
You know, and this answer evolves, but I think it goes back to being able to help people conservatively, being able to work with athletes with my hands, sometimes one-on-one, you know, programming. Like, I program physical therapy exercises and corrective exercises every day, and I love that. You know, being able, like when I was in college, our basketball team, I've told this story many times, went to a chiropractor. He was awesome, but he also worked with a physical therapist, so I saw how they worked together, which was very cool, and how they were able to keep us well, keep us moving, teach us some things. So that was always in the back of my mind, and I just liked how you started to see chiropractic more with sports teams. You were more hands-on on a day-to-day basis than maybe a surgeon was, because a surgeon's only working with you when you injure something, you know, when you tear something or break something, where this guy was working with us all the time on our movements. And the way chiropractic and physical therapy and physiotherapy have evolved, you know, we're basically taking people from, you know, they've got back pain or neck pain, they can't move, and then we're building a program with them back to not only get rid of their pain, but increase their function. And that was always very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. So, but plus I've applied so many things that I've learned to myself to get better as well from a mobility movement perspective. So I think that's also interesting.
Yeah. So you walk into your office and you walk into those doors and you're waiting there. You open the door and it's like, this is like, I'm the most important person there.
Correct.
Has it always been like that?
Always been like that.
And does it ever get old?
No, you know.
Like, do you ever not want to go to work?
No.
Because you're not like, there's a lot of jobs, and this is not going to make a lot of people happy. A lot of jobs where you don't have to be there. If you weren't there, nobody would care. Nobody would know. Next guy in line. You can't do that. Like, you can't work from home, obviously. Right. You can't work remotely.
Right. Can't work remotely. And every day it's, and I hopefully the patients will tell you when I open that door, it's.
Yeah. There's nowhere to hide. Yeah.
Yeah. And you are the most important person in front of me at that time. What do we need to do? And I think I've been very blessed, and we've talked about this in other podcasts. I've got a fantastic staff that understands the goal of what we're trying to do with the patient. So yes, a patient may only be with me for, you know, 8-10 minutes after I've done their initial 30 or 40 minute consult or whatever, but then they're in my office for another 40 minutes with our staff implementing some of the strategies that I have, I don't want to say programmed, but prescribed to get this condition better. So that's what's so cool to me, is someone's going to come in, and if they give us the chance, you know, because some people don't, they come in twice and like, oh, this isn't working. Well, man, a diet doesn't work in 2 days. You know what I mean? It's like you can't go to the gym in 2 days and you're in shape, but yeah. They can't, for some reason, they can't put that perspective out there. But if you give us a chance, usually we're going to teach you something. Like, that's one of our biggest goals in our office, is teach the patient something they can do at home that's going to be able to be used from now until they die.
Yeah.
What can we teach them? What is important about joint health? Uh-huh. So every day I go to work, I love going to work.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what you just said is a good point. You know, like, a diet doesn't work in 2 days. It also doesn't work the other way, which is why I always say, like, people invest too much in the goal. Which, I mean, the goal's great, but sometimes your timeline might be off. That's why I always say, on the path, like, stay on the path. Don't
trust the process.
Yeah, don't, because too many people just quit when you don't hit a goal. Like, say I want to back squat 500 pounds. I don't hit it in 6 weeks, which was my goal. People just quit. You know, no. Like, you ever see, like, the picture of people, like, the guy digging, and he's, like, right by whatever the pot of gold, and he just walks away because he thinks he's been digging for too long.
I've had people come into my office and... For example, I've had back pain for 2.5 months. Okay, what were you doing? Well, I was going to physical therapy. It wasn't getting better. Well, obviously, we manipulate more than physical therapists do, but a lot of the exercises we use are very similar. So we're doing the same thing, and the person gets better in 2 weeks, and I have to explain to them. I go, no. I go, you put in the work. I go, it didn't get better in 2 weeks because you were here. And again, I'll say it. Unfortunately, you would probably have gotten better in 2 weeks if you would have stayed with them. You just didn't trust their process. And sometimes, maybe not. Sometimes their process sucks. But I always tell people, there's going to be a time where maybe in some cases you've gotten a little bit better and you're thinking about quitting. Give me 1 or 2 more weeks. I guarantee I get you there, because you're probably right there. And some people will listen. Some people don't. Most people do. You know, we've got a good patient base. It's, you know, it's fun to work in this area. And that makes it easier to go to work. There's not like anybody that walks through my door that I'm like, oh man, you know, I don't want to work with this person. No, man, if you want to come in and work with me, I mean, you got to be a complete asshole for me not to want to work with you. You know what I mean? And we don't have that around here, really. I mean, there's a couple that are, you know, maybe they don't mesh with my personality, but that's why I have Dr. Mike, Dr. Morgan, and Dr. Mitch, because they might mesh with them better, and then we're still getting this person better, which is the goal, mm-hmm. you know?
When you're going through something hard, physical, mental, whatever, what are some strategies you use to get through it? Like, for me, I go to, like, say there's something I have to do for an hour that I don't really want to do. Mm-hmm. What, like, how would you get through that? Like, or a workout. You could use a workout as an example, too.
Well, I mean, I can do both. A task at work, I'm always looking at, okay, do you want to do this now? Or do you want to do this when you could be, you know, doing something with your son or your daughter? Do you want to do this now when you have a few minutes? Or do you want to do this when you're busy and then that's going to stress you out? So I'm like a task oriented, knock this out, move on type of person. When I'm working out, it depends. It's like I either will say, okay, you know, I try to do as much. I've learned a lot about positive self-talk during workouts, and I think that has also helped during some of the more challenging stuff, just to keep moving.
Yeah.
Keep moving. No matter what happens in any type of CrossFit workout, now my goal is to always keep moving. Even if I have to slow down, keep accumulating reps, keep moving, keep moving. If I'm really needing something, I'll actually, and Johnny Adam and I talk about this all the time, I'll vilify someone who may have told me I couldn't do something in the past, or, you know what I mean, or did something to irritate me. I'm like, oh, this person, like, I'll just say, this person says you can't do that. And I'll put it in my head that this person, and they have this person, you know, probably hasn't done anything to me, but that person said you couldn't do this. You know, Rich always laughs because Rich will be like, you can't do that.
Always.
You know, you can't do that. And so, and not that I think of him because he's my buddy, but there is people that in, you know, chiropractic, who I started as a young chiropractor, and, you know, no respect, no time of day. And they have nothing to do with CrossFit or my workout, but I went into their office to bring them lunch, and, you know, their staff was professional to me, but because I was a chiropractor and because they didn't understand anything about my office, they threw the baby out with the bathwater and treated me like a piece of garbage instead of treating me just like a person. You don't have to agree with me. So I'll put that guy in my head. I'm like, this motherfucker here, excuse my language, said you can't do this, and then I'm just going to push through it. And I know sometimes that's not the best way to motivate yourself, but when I'm stuck in a workout, that's sometimes where I got to go to get me to finish something hard that I don't want to finish, you know. Or even with work, because some of those people, either a medical doctor or another chiropractor, that's like, oh, you question us getting somebody better? No, I'm getting this person better. Because, and again, this person probably has no recollection of them being rude to me, but now that's just a motivator to me. So I store stuff in my head. Like, you know, that's sick, but it is what it is.
Yeah, like how you said both positive and negative self-talk, because I feel like people get too invested one way or the other, because I think positive self-talk's great, but I think you can get to a point where you're like, you're too positive, and all of a sudden you're giving yourself excuses to not do things, or going the other way, you can be too negative, and all of a sudden you just feel like you're a piece of shit. You know?
Like, yeah, I don't mind, like, you know, I grew up and I didn't mind coaches yelling at me, because I felt like that means they cared. Like, if they didn't care, they're not going to invest time to yell at me. You know what I mean? So, like, and not yell from, like, because another one of my pet peeves is I'll be talking and trying to discuss something with someone. It's like, why are you yelling at me? Like, you know, my daughter did that, and she's hilarious, because my daughter's 7, and she's a fantastic negotiator, and she, I don't care. I'm not yelling at you. She goes, I know, Dad, but I just, you know, I know it drives you nuts. I'm like, oh, you're too smart. She's too smart for her own good. But, you know, I think the negative self-talk can sometimes be a motivator if you do it the right way, just because you're just trying to gut through something. But I think you're right. I think there needs to be a balance, for me anyway. And some people may not respond to it, but I don't mind people getting on me. Like, hey, you didn't lock that rep out. Lock that rep out. You got to get that out, because I want to do it right. You know, so.
Yeah, I think too many people get discouraged by negative. Like, if someone yells at you, you usually get, like, you know, your reaction is to get mad or upset. But I feel like you should almost, like, thank somebody, because then you're like, well, thank you for pointing that out to me. Like, if I was being lazy in that, maybe I'll be lazy in something else later.
Sure, and there's always a way to say, yeah, you could have, thank you for pointing that out. You may want to say it like this next time. Because I found there is a better way to say certain things. But sometimes when you're working out or you're in sports, you're just going to get yelled at, because they're trying to get your attention over a crowd of people or over music in the gym, and they're going to have to yell. So I don't think that's always a bad thing.
I've also, like, talked to a lot of old, like, my old football coaches in general. Like, if you're just going to yell all the time, it loses its meaning.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm. And that my best coaches, just like I think some of the best public speakers, change tones.
Mm-hmm.
So when they can, they're yelling, but then they're a little bit quieter. So then you got to listen. And I think changing tones and pitches of your voice is very helpful, at least when I'm listening to someone speak, that makes me have to engage a little bit more.
So. Like, for example, if my dad yelled at me, it just, at this point, it's just noise. If my grandpa yelled at me, I'd be like, whoa, I messed up. But if my dad said, I'm disappointed, then I'd be upset. Like, it's for them, it's opposite.
Sure. You know? And I think that goes with family and friends and things like that. Different people, the way they say things, you'll respond differently depending on your connection with them. So it's always an intricate and interesting, feedback is an interesting thing when you're talking about coaching or, you know, parenting or anything like that, because I think it's more complicated than people give it credit for.
If you didn't, if you could go back and you couldn't be a chiropractor, what do you think you would be?
Basketball coach.
Really?
I don't know. Like,
what
level? I would work until I got to the highest level. I mean,
you'd want to go to the NBA. Well, is maybe that considered the highest level?
I don't know if I'd be in the NBA. I loved working with high school kids. You know, I coached assistant varsity basketball coach 2 years out of college at my high school. I still have relationships with some of those kids. They still email me. They still call me coach, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
You know? But I enjoyed that. I mean, I don't know. I worked for my dad for a while. I liked the sales industry, but didn't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, but from a passion perspective, I would have done something in the basketball world. Coaching, you know, administration, something like that. Because that's I enjoy. That's what I do now, is I coach all day long. I mean, that's my job, is, you know, coaching or teaching people how to get better.
Yeah.
So
would you say you would want to go you said high school. Is that the level you'd
want to go? I don't know where I would end up. I mean,
if you could pick, I guess.
If I had to pick, I'd want to pick, I would pick college.
Where? If you, dream place, where would you go?
I mean, it's funny. It wouldn't be the highest paying job, but I loved where I went to school. I loved Grand Valley State. I'd love to coach there.
Of all the you'd pick
Grand Valley. I just like that area. Like, and again, I'm not looking at it from a monetary perspective. I just always like that area. I love the campus. I love the program.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Wesley's up there right now. He does a fantastic job. It seems like I'm not dealing with, not that one and done people are bad, but I think those players are there. They're not going, most of them are not going to go to the NBA. Some of them will go play in Europe. It's a high level of basketball. They care. They work hard. You're going to get your share of drama. I don't know. That's just, I always thought that would be neat to coach at the college I went to. That's, I guess, why I said that. You know, maybe a low or mid D1 school that's unknown, and you build that program. I always think building a program into notoriety would be neat. That's how I did the chiropractic office here, is I tried to just, I built it from nothing. Mm-hmm. I think building something up would be pretty cool. So, but I never really gave it much thought past that.
Yeah. I'm always interested, and we talked, Pete brought this up earlier when we were just chatting, but like between like Villanova's like a program school, like you're going to recruit guys that are going to be part of the program. Kentucky's one and done, you know, you're here. Like if you stay for sophomore year, there's something wrong.
Sure.
You're usually getting pushed out the door. What do you think would you rather coach at a place where you're trying to build a program, or you're trying to just
program, one and done, just like I said, program.
Yeah.
Like culture, developing kids, developing men, you know, teaching them how to play the right way, teaching them how to be the right way, if, you know, assuming that I do things the right way. But, you know, things like that, life lessons, like that is more, and again, maybe I would change once I got in, because I'm not a coach, you know, maybe I would change that tune once I got to be coaching, but I enjoyed college basketball, the relationships I built, the things I learned, the lessons I learned, and it was nice because, you know, we'd drive on a bus for 500 miles, and, you know, you'd get tight with your teammates. And I know those guys fly and they're tight too, but I think building a culture and building a program would be enjoyable for me.
And like, because like Calipari from Kentucky will say that stuff too, but like, what do you think makes a guy like that want to run a program, like where you're just like funneling players in and out? Like, do you think he has more eyes on the NBA versus like the NCAA? Like,
I think, again, this is just me thinking. I don't know. He's probably, if he listens, he probably, this kid doesn't know what the hell, or this dude doesn't know what he's talking about.
If he listened.
Yeah, if he listened. But I think he is selling that he knows how to get you to the NBA. He coached in the NBA. He knows the skill set you need. He knows how to develop that, and he's looking to win now. I think some of those guys who know their NBA talents, they know they're going to the league, they don't want to be quote unquote developed.
Yeah.
They want to go, they want to win, they want to learn from a guy who's been in the NBA, and then they want to go. So if that's your skill set and he knows he's good at that, I don't fault him for doing it that way.
Yeah.
It's just that would not be my skill set because mm-hmm. I've never been in the NBA. I've never coached in the NBA. You know what I mean? So it's like that wouldn't be what I would want to do. And he's done it obviously pretty well over the last however many years. Yeah. You know? So I think it's just all what you want to do. But
yeah, no.
I mean, it's just I can't obviously speak for anybody, but that he seems to be good at that. I think he recruits the player, like I said, that wants to do that. So then that puts him in that ship where that's what he does.
It's funny too, because like you said, kind of like the guy who wants to just go one and done. If you're going to the NBA draft and you're 22, it's almost like you're old.
Yeah,
it's weird because you want like the 18, 19, 20 year old guy.
Yep, and now with they're drafting more, well, they have been for years, more people out of Europe, and those guys are tons, younger because they've been playing pro ball since they were young.
Yeah.
16, 17. So it's just interesting. Coaching's interesting.
So I'm going to switch gears on you. Take a pretty hard turn here.
Okay.
You told me something the other day, and you probably won't even remember this. You said something about your son, Carter, telling you he didn't want to play basketball.
Sure.
And you said that, he thought he was going to be, you were going to be mad, but you weren't.
Right.
Why take that route? And what do you think about like people who just force their kids to do things, and whatever
that doesn't work.
Yeah.
The background on that is my son. Everybody who knows me knows I played basketball in college. I love basketball, and my son's played for a few years, and he came up to me and he just said, "Dad, I really don't think I want to play basketball this year." And I'm like, "Oh, that's okay." But he goes, "I just didn't want to upset you. I didn't want to disappoint you." And I was like, "Dude, that'll never disappoint me." Because my parents never pushed me to any sport. I say this all the time, if you're gonna do something you want to do, but do it to the best of your ability and work hard. So if he doesn't want to play basketball, I want him to do something that he likes.
Yeah.
And right now that seems to be kickboxing and learning how to shoot a rifle.
Yeah.
So and that's fine because he's working hard at both of those right now, and then he likes baseball a lot. So my perspective is I've seen so many kids that I grew up with that their parents push, burns them out, and then they have a high school or their high school career where they're traveling everywhere and playing. They don't really get to enjoy what they want to enjoy, and then all of a sudden they're in college and they felt like they wasted 4 years in high school playing a sport that they played for their parents rather than what they wanted to do, and now they're in college like, okay, I guess I'll just go to college and now do what I want to do. I don't know. I just don't ever want him to look back and say, I only played a sport because my dad wanted me to play. Because one, I don't think you're going to get the best out of your ability. I don't think it's going to be enjoyable. And I've seen so many kids burn out because it's, the parents' glory years. They want their kid to be what they weren't. And, if he wants to play, he's only in fourth grade. If he wants to play, he'll come back and play. And I know there's a lot of politicking in sports right now, especially at the youth level. And, it's, who and what team you can get on. But I always look back at if you're good, you're good. My parents weren't into all that. And I was skilled enough to play on very high level, AAU teams and got to college to play. So if you're good and you want to be good, there's plenty of time.
Yeah.
More sports and more things you can experience now when you're younger. And I tell him this all the time. Do whatever you want to find something you like. He liked golf. He played golf, the summer he was in a little junior league once a week, and he enjoyed that. And I think part of it now is last year he wasn't on a team with any of his friends. He kind of just got clumped onto a team, and they were good kids, but he wants to play with his friends. He wants to have fun.
Yeah.
Or else you're going to lose kids in the sport. If they're not having fun, you're going to lose them. So I just told him, hey, do whatever you want to do, man.
It's funny you say that. It takes me back to Michael Jordan and the documentary. If you're good, you're good. Dennis Rodman example. Let the dude go to Vegas during the season, for a break.
And again, sometimes people get, and I'm not saying that my son's going to be that good, but or that preference. But if you're good at a sport, and the coach sees that, the coach wants to win.
Yeah.
So, and if you're following the rules, and Dennis Rodman obviously does, but that's the NBA. That's different. But if you're doing what you need to do, and you develop, and you work hard, and you're good, you'll make the team.
Yeah.
Unless the coach has got, and I know that happens. I've heard of that happening. I've never had that experience, so I don't want to speak out of turn. But I've not had that experience around here in Barrington yet, but I've heard of it happening. And if it happens, it happens, and it'll teach him a life lesson.
Yeah.
That, hey, you don't ever treat anybody else like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I just think it's funny because like a guy like Michael Jordan, he literally will do whatever it takes to win. If that means letting Dennis Rodman go to Vegas for a week, that's what it
means. Dennis Rodman was that good.
It's hilarious,
So
because he knows what it takes to win. You know? Yeah.
And Dennis Rodman was a different type of athlete, and he needed that. He needed that to be able to perform. And you know, part of running a team is understanding your yeah. pieces. You know, and that's like running a business. You need to understand your pieces and where they fit and what you know. You want to have rules. And sometimes, though, in those circumstances, like the Bulls did, they let Rodman kind of have his own set of rules, and everybody understood that because everybody was focused on winning that championship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's more the exception, not the rule, but they made it work.
Yeah. I mean, it's like there's a bunch of examples like Brady and Gronk. You know, like everybody knows what happens with Gronk behind the scenes. Like, you know yeah. he goes out, and that's his outlet.
Yep.
So I guess like everybody kind of needs an outlet. So for you, when you're not training, working, like what's your outlet to kind of de-stress?
Oh, my kids.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, wrestling with them and, oh. you know, they always come up with a different wrestler's name every week or, you know, running around with them. That's, you know, that's my wife and my outlet, I think, is being around them. It's we try to take them everywhere and it's fun. You know, that's really my outlet. You know, it's what are we doing today? It's taking like, you know, he's been taking this safety course and he's been able to learn how to shoot a 22 rifle. And the other day we went to the class and it was just fun for me to be there watching him, just helping him learn how to do that. And he's like, Dad, do you want to shoot any targets? I'm like, no, go ahead. You do it. And it was just, I just enjoyed that hour and a half of just watching and hanging and watching him learn and watching him ask questions to the instructor and so on and so forth. So that's kind of my outlet.
So everything you do revolves around people, like training, working. Yep. You're always around people. Do you ever take time for yourself? And what do you do if you do?
Well, usually I work out.
Okay. But you're still with people.
Right. Well, sometimes I'll work out by myself. Sometimes there's times when I just need to be, you know, alone. I'll work out by myself or I'll read. Like right now I'm reading Operation Thunderbolt, which is about the raid on the Entebbe airport in Uganda. My buddy Greg Hughes turned me onto that book. So I'm halfway through that right now, which is a good read. So I'll do that and, you know, let's go on my yard, you know, cut up some firewood. Yeah. Now that's a new thing I've been doing and that is very relaxing. So sometimes take the dog for a walk. I'm pretty simple, man. I don't need a lot of downtime, but I've always enjoyed being around people. So I don't need a ton of time to myself, but I don't mind having it. Like if there's nothing to do, I have no problem sitting at home reading or throwing my dog in the car. We'll go for a drive, you know, get her a puppy whip. I'll get a coffee, you know, or my wife and I'll just go sit outside. I mean, a lot of times like Pete and Beth will walk by and Brent and I are just sitting on our porch. Like, what are you guys doing? We're just sitting here, you know, just hanging. So I don't know. Pretty simple.
You seem to not really ever have nothing to do. Do you ever kind of just you don't seem like the guy who just lays on the couch and watches TV.
No, I mean, well, no, I don't. Like there's right now, The Mandalorian's out and most people understand or know what that is. So Friday nights, that's what my son and I and my daughter like to watch.
Okay.
You know, it got a little aggressive for my daughter. She goes, Dad, this is a little, I'm like, yeah, you probably don't want to watch this part here. But you know, that's something that we look forward to on Fridays right now. But no, there's not a lot of sitting around watching TV. Like I don't watch barely any TV. Like people talk about all these different shows. Someone was talking about this show Yellowstone and they're going on and on about it. And I don't know what the hell they're talking about, you know. The only thing that I watched was Cobra Kai because Pete and some of our friends were talking about that. So I watched the first season of that because I was a Karate Kid fan. But it took me forever to get through. Like I was watching like 10 minutes here, 12 minutes there, just because when I'm home, because I work so much, when I'm home, I want to be attentive to the kids. So if they're up, I want to be doing what they're doing. So, yeah, never sitting around, man.
Yeah. this is so off topic, but last week at that you had a party for Andrew and Lauren for their kids, their kid that's on the way.
Yeah, their baby shower. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You were wearing a Carhartt jacket. Did you buy that just for the party?
No, my wife got that for me.
We were wondering about that because, like, at work, all the guys wear them.
Dude, those are the warmest jackets around.
About you the other day. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah
they're the best. But yeah,
they're the warmest jacket around, and it's like it's like indestructible.
Yeah.
So no, my wife got that for me a couple months ago. Because I was like, I need a jacket that I can be, like, because right now I just have a ski jacket, and I'm like, I need a jacket I can beat up outside, where I'm not worried about like tearing, you know, the fabric of the ski jacket that's warm, whatever. So she got me that. I was like, man, this is like the best jacket ever. Yeah. So
yeah, we were just joking about you the other day.
Oh yeah,
like I've only seen that on like a construction site before.
Yeah. Well, I was like, give me the heaviest duty one they got, and she did. And the thing is, like, I could wear a t-shirt under that in the winter, and it keeps me warm. So it's good.
So last thing before we wrap up, What do you got planned for the future? What are some goals?
We have Wodapalooza qualifier coming up, I think, in January. So that's always a goal, is to try to get back there.
Okay.
It'll be harder because I'm a year older, and as many Masters athletes will share with you, it changes so much year to year.
Yeah.
With who's coming in from the lower division, or the younger division, I shouldn't say lower, younger division, to who's hurt, to are you nicked up. And that's, I think, half of the battle is staying healthy, because you're trying to train with volume right now to get ready for these competitions. And at our age, if you're training too much volume, you're going to get nicked up, you're going to get sore, you're going to get hurt, which might set your training back. So it's a delicate balance, which I think I've learned. You got Christmas coming up. It's going to be a different type of Christmas this year because of the social distancing and COVID. We've got, I don't know what else. Hopefully the kids are, you know, going to be back in school sometime in the spring sometime, so they can get back to life, because my kids are doing a great job with e-learning, but I know they miss their friends. And I just keep telling them, be patient. Things will work out. When it's supposed to happen, it will happen. But it's out of our control right now, so do what you do. But other than that, man, just working, trying to keep people healthy, keep training, you know. Yeah. Beth and Pete, Beth's books. We always got a hashtag Beth books when we're on the podcast. She's got me, I just downloaded that Matthew McConaughey book on Audible. So I'm going to start listening to that the next couple of weeks. And, yeah, just hang.
Yeah.
Probably work out with you a few times before you go back to Colorado. Yeah. And we're good.
One last thing. How long do you see yourself working, and what will you do when you do stop working?
I don't know if I'll ever stop working per se.
I guess doing what you do is a better way.
You know, I like what I do. So until I don't like what I do, I'm going to work probably as long as I can, you know. I always tell my employees, I'm grooming you to take this place over, but they know you're not going anywhere. You like it in here. You like being in the mix. You like doing what you do. I mean, I really enjoy what I do. So, I mean, my kids are still got to go through high school, middle school. So, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be working for a while. And even when I'm done with chiropractic, if I ever am, I'll find something else to do, because I'll drive my wife crazy if I don't have something to do. So
you're not leaving. You ever give that speech, you know, Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah, yeah. I don't give that speech. No, not that one. But, you know, I always tell them, I'm trying to groom you guys, you know, to be able to do more. And they're like, you're never going anywhere. You're always going to be here. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right.
You don't walk into the office like, you know,
No, I don't walk into the office doing any of that Wolf of Wall Street stuff. No, I would be my employees would run out on me immediately. Like, what the hell's wrong with this guy?
Yeah. So. That was McConaughey in that, you know, in that scene.
Yeah.
And I guess that was all, he made that all up on his own.
Did he really?
Yeah. That whole scene between those two when they're in the restaurant.
Really? Unscripted?
Yeah.
Man, that's pretty impressive. That's again why I'm not an actor, man. Yeah. I couldn't do any of that stuff. So.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming back on the show. This is fun.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks and good luck.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. We'll see you next week for another episode of the Up Before You podcast. Thank you, everyone, and have a great day.